call to order here, and we'll start with a roll call, Teresa.
As a reminder, all voting and roll call will be done verbal. Director Limbaugh.
Here.
Director Ramirez.
Here.
Director Page.
Here.
Director Cox.
Present.
And President Raleigh.
I'm here.
Well, thank you.
I'm here too.
Kathy's here.
Were you missed? Yeah, I was missed.
I'm so sorry. Director Hoffman.
You missed me. It's good.
All right. We'll move on to item 3, approval of the agenda. We'll need a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion.
We have a motion. Page.
I'll second.
Second, Cox.
We'll do a roll call.
Vote.
Director Hoffman.
Yes.
Director Limbaugh.
Here.
Director Ramirez.
Yes.
Director Page.
Yes.
Director Cox.
Aye.
And President Raleigh.
Here.
All right. Move on to public participation. The public comment period is limited to 5 minutes. Do you have anybody wishing to speak?
We have 2 online and 1 in person.
Is it for a certain agenda item, or is it just under public comment?
The one in person is on other issues, nothing specific.
Okay. We'll go ahead and move forward with that.
Okay, it would be Kenneth Gunn.
Good morning. My name is Kenneth Gunn. I live near the border of Kern County, the town of Boron. Because the time is limited, I had written out a 5-minute long speech, I guess. But then on my long drive over here, I realized how much I hate watching people read things. So I'm just going to hand this to Adnan, who's dealt with some of my issues in the past. I've been battling a solar project that's been drawing water from a commercial well. And so the Water Masters Board has been helping me with that. But with that, I'd like just to present that because
absolutely. Thank you for your comments, and
happy holidays and happy new year.
Thank you.
Teresa, is there somebody online as well?
Yes, I have 2 with their hands raised. I have John Munson and Neil Dieza. Would John like to speak now?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yes.
That was a yes. Thank you very much.
Yes, yes, we can.
Well, good morning, board members. My name is John Munson, and it's good to be back speaking at your meeting again on behalf of the Sierra Club. I want to update you on Arizona's recent rejection of the community's water mining project. Arizona is in a historic water crisis. The Colorado River's allocations are plummeting, and aquifers are stressed. Cities and the state are looking for new sources of water. Yet 2 weeks ago, Arizona's Water Infrastructure Finance Authority, WIFA, made a striking decision. It okayed a group of major water importation projects for desalinization, recycling, and aquifer recharge when the board met on November 19th. But one importation idea was rejected early in the process, EPCOR Utilities' proposal tied to Cadiz. In explaining the decision, board member David Beecham was explicit. That one's over. You're not doing that. If a state this desperate for water will not touch your project, it is a serious red flag. WIFA Executive Director Chelsea McGuire told reporters that the projects the board advanced are, quote, real projects that are no longer hypothetical. Cadiz was not among them, and you can figure out why. In December 2024, the California State Lands Commission unanimously rejected Cadiz's pipeline lease request. Commission Chair Malia Cohen stated some similar reasoning. Quote, we have no assurance this project will ever come to fruition. I'm not willing to gamble with the taxpayers' money. Arizona's decision sends a clear message. even the extreme drought, responsible water agencies reject false solutions. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Appreciate it.
And next we have Neil Deaza.
Neil, you're up.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, good morning, Chair Rowley and directors. Hope you all are doing well. My name is Neil Desai with the National Parks Conservation Association. It's good to be back here with you. You know, we previously mentioned that we would do our best to keep you posted on areas of overlap and issues that we've worked on previously. And so I wanted to be here today because, you know, your agency's fine name keeps on coming up in Cadiz's presentations. I want to share two examples that were relatively recently. So on October 20th of this year, Cadiz's CEO gave a presentation to the Newberry Springs Chamber of Commerce. And the member of the public asked, well, hey, what's going on with MWA's work with Cadiz? And Cadiz's CEO responded stating the following, and I quote, "They have to allow us to put water into the Baja or Central Groundwater Basin. They've already indicated because they've got their public agency saying you're going to count this if we put it in there." And continuing on from there, that was step one. Number two, I want their pipelines. That's an empty pipeline and it's supposed to be serving Newberry Springs. I want to repeat that point. I want their pipelines. So then she went on to talk about an additional pipeline of yours that we hadn't mentioned previous. We hadn't heard from them previously. And it says, she said, quote, "They have the Mojave River and Morongo pipeline that are incredibly important assets. So we want them to be encouraged to let us use that," unquote. And she then said, again, this issue of accessing and taking your pipeline. She said, and I quote, "All I need is their pipeline. I want them to sell me their pipeline," unquote. So not sure what's going on there, if there are conversations happening about selling infrastructure, using them, but I also want to describe one last thing. Then on September 9th of this year, Cadiz's CEO spoke at the Mojave Desert Resources Conservation District. And it touched on something that is inconsistent with the policy statement that you had drafted up. And so let me just read the direct quote. "If in fact it's easier for us and a lot cheaper for us to move water up into the backside of the Mojave River Basin, it allows the Mojave Water Agency and the Alto Pumpers to utilize their money and state water project more efficiently." So that's the kind of cooperation that we have with the Mojave Water Agency, and they have been very receptive to having those conversations, unquote. So, you know, like I said, we committed to keeping you up to speed on what's going on and how your name is being used and what's going on. But, any feedback would be helpful. So thank you again for the opportunity. I really hope you all are doing well as you approach the end of this year. Thank you. Wow.
Thank you, Neil, for your comments. Appreciate it. Is there anyone else online?
There are no other comments at this time.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all who spoke. Well, on to item 5, and it's pursuant to Government Code Section 3502.3. The purpose of this hearing is for the board to accept public testimony and to hear and consider adoption of the agency's East Ames Recharge Facility Final Initial Study Mitigated Negative Declaration. So with that, this is the time and place set for the public hearing on the East Ames Recchi Recharge Facility Project and Mitigated Negative Declaration, which item 5 is on our agenda. The public hearing is now open. I now call upon the board secretary to confirm the posting and publication of the hearing notice.
A notice of this public hearing was posted and published in the Victor Valley Daily Press, the Mojave Water Agency website, and at Mojave Water Agency in the manner and form as required by law.
Thank you. So the staff will now provide a presentation to the board.
Thank you, and just a couple of opening comments. As reflected in the administrative record set forth in the agenda materials for this board meeting, which is incorporated into this presentation, the agency proposes to construct 2 recharge basins, a north and a south recharge basin for groundwater recharge within an approximate 4.8 acre groundwater recharge area and an associated multi-completion monitoring well to be located on a 10-acre vacant parcel located north of Winters Road in Landers, unincorporated San Bernardino County, California. Proposed improvements will allow MWA to increase groundwater recharge capacity of annual State Water Project Table A allocations. With that, we can go over to Ms. Bailey for the presentation on this item.
Yes, good morning. I'll go into a little bit more detail, but as Adnan mentioned, this is for the East Ames Reggie Recharge Facility Project, initial study and mitigated negative declaration public hearing item. So this is a brief project overview. The location is on a 10-acre site owned by MWA in the unincorporated area of San Bernardino County off of Winter Road. On the map on the right, you can see the two parcels, which we intend to build those recharge basins on off of our existing pipeline. It'll be a T off that pipeline into that recharge basin. The purpose of this is to increase groundwater recharge capacity in that area, and this will consist of developing two recharge basins, a north and a south, which are finalizing design right now. It will have 12-foot tall berms and 6-foot tall perimeter fencing with barbed wire. As you recall, our other recharge facility down there in the wash does not have any fencing, creates nuisances, and has a bunch of complications for operations of that facility. And so this is intended to make improvements onto that facility. And this will be a pipeline connection to the Morongo Basin pipeline. And then we're also going to have a multi-completion monitoring well that will hit bedrock in that area that we will use for water levels and water quality. Mojave Water Agency is the lead agency on the CEQA process for this. We did prepare an initial study and a mitigated negative declaration for this. The findings were there were some potential significant impacts, mostly biological, related to burrowing owls, nesting birds, desert tortoise, and MWA did agree to some mitigated measures to reduce those impacts to less than significant. And so there were no significant unmitigatable environmental impacts. The public review process did open in September on the 14th and has gone until today where we will hear public comments. We had an additional public comment opportunity on November 13th. If you recall, that came before the board as well. So this notice was posted with the county clerk, state clearinghouse, and the local newspaper. And we have thus far received one comment letter from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, which is addressed in the final ISMND. A summary of what they put in their comment letter was in reference to the biological resources. And as I mentioned previously, we did agree to mitigate those measures with pre-construction surveys. And then we also clarified and provided more information on one of their comments related to ephemeral washes with an additional field survey that was done to see that there was no impact on that item. And so with that, I can take any questions.
So thank you for that presentation. Are there any questions of staff at this time from any of the... we're good. Thank you. Okay, at this time, we will now turn it to public testimony. This is a public hearing for the receipt of oral and written public testimony for or against the East Ames Reggie Recharge Facility Project and mitigated negative declaration prepared under the California Environmental Quality Act. Are not required to provide oral testimony in order to submit a written comment. If you wish, you may simply submit your written comment to personnel. As you come forward to speak, please identify yourself and your address. You will have the customary 3 minutes to speak. The board secretary will let you know when you have 1 minute remaining so that you can conclude your remarks. Is there anyone wishing to comment on this item, Teresa?
I have received no comments.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any written comments? Are there any remaining oral comments? The hearing none. Move on. We'll now move on to the action and discussion items on our agenda. The first of those is item six, which is to consider adoption of resolution 1178-25, a resolution of this board of directors of the Mojave Water Agency making findings and adopting a mitigated negative declaration pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act and approving the East Ames Recce Recharge Facility Project. Does staff have any further comments or presentation that will be made at this time? Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I thought you did.
Well, we'll close the public hearing at, we closed it probably about 45 seconds ago prior to the comments. Okay, great. Thank you. Does staff have any further comments or staff reports to provide?
We can just move on to the, you have some slides. I think Ms. Bailey has slides related to the resolution making findings as a responsible party.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, so the next item related to this is to adopt a resolution or consider adopting a resolution number 1178-25, making findings and adopting a mitigated negative declaration and mitigation monitoring and reporting plan for the East Ames Recce Recharge Facility Project. So I gave the brief overview of the project. We went through the CEQA process, and now staff is recommending that the Board of Directors consider adopting the resolution number 1178-25, making the findings and adopting the mitigated negative declaration, the MND, and the mitigated monitoring and reporting plan, MMRP, pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA, and approving the East Ames Recce Recharge Facility Project.
Great. Thank you. Is there any other comments from the Board of Directors or questions? Okay, hearing none. So with that, if there's no further board discussion, I would entertain a motion to adopt resolution 1178-25, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Mojave Water Agency finding and adopting a mitigated negative declaration pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act and approving the East Ames Recce Recharge Facility Project.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second that.
We have a motion, Director Page, second, Director Cox.
Director Hoffman?
Yes.
Director Limbaugh?
Yes.
Director Ramirez?
Yes.
Director Page?
Yes.
Director Cox? And President Raleigh?
Aye. So thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for the great script, too. Okay, good. All right. We'll move on to item seven, which is a review. This is a workshop review of the annual comprehensive financial report ending in June 30th, 2025. And I believe it'd be Lauren.
Good morning. We have our independent external auditor that's going to do our presentation today. Her name is Brianna. I will let her introduce herself. She was here and presented. She's with the audit firm of RAMS. When I say she presented last year, so you're familiar with her.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me. Yes, thanks, Lauren. I am Brianna Schultz. I'm the engagement partner on Mojave's 2025 financial statement audit. And I met with the committee and went over a very similar presentation, a bit more detail, though, earlier this week. And hopefully my sound is better today. Can I get a quick additional confirmation? I just want to make sure.
You're coming in good and clear on the camera.
Awesome. Okay, very good, very good. All right. Lauren, if you don't mind going to slide two for me, if you're the one navigating that. Thank you. All right, so just a quick overview of the responsibilities of both parties here. So responsibilities of RAMS as your auditors are really to audit those financial statements, the act for, you know, whatever 100 plus page document that's in front of you, that is in accordance with GAAP's, the generally accepted accounting principles, government auditing standards, and the state controller's minimum audit requirements for special districts as well. And just a quick reminder that our procedures are determined and applied to provide a reasonable but not absolute assurance. I think a common misconception of the public is that auditors find fraud, and right, if we find it and we happen upon it, then yes, absolutely, those matters get reported to the appropriate staff or board of directors, city council, whatever the case may be. But that's not the primary purpose of our procedures. Primary purpose is really just that those numbers in the financial statements are materially and fairly stated. Next slide, please. So the audit timeline, we have a few different components here. So the interim phase of our audit is conducted usually in the summer, and we're not looking at numbers at all. We're simply looking at processes. So bank reconciliations, are they being done in a timely manner? Are they being approved and reconciled to zero? The processes and controls, making sure that there's proper segregation of duties over accounts, accounts payable, the expenses going in, cash receipts coming in, you know, all of those processes. The more comfort that we can get over the processes inherently gives us a little bit more comfort over the year-end balances, right? And that doesn't necessarily decrease the amount of work that we do over the numbers, but it just gives us more comfort overall. And so the year-end audit is really when we're digging into the numbers, and we performed that in August. And then started the compilation of the financial statements along with the help of Carrie and Lauren through September, October to get this beautiful document to you folks today. Next slide, please. So significant changes from the prior year. Luckily, it was not a heavy year as far as GASB pronouncements and new implementations go. There was one related to compensated absences, which had a very minor change for the agency. It really materially did not change the number, the ending balance of compensated absences. It just slightly changed the calculation underlying. And let's see. Yeah, there was no additional pages. You know, I think some of you might remember years ago when pension and OPEB were brought on, that brought on 7, 8, 10 pages of additional disclosures. This year, we didn't have anything like that. Next year coming up, we have two significant ones coming, though, so that will change the look of some of the statements, and we will be sure to prepare Lauren and management finance team for that when the time comes. Next slide, please. And so ultimately, the independent auditor's report, which is page one of this whole document, We issued an unmodified opinion this year, which is the highest level of assurance, once again, that an audit firm can provide. And, you know, this has been many years that Mojave has had this type of opinion. So I want to applaud and congratulate you all. That takes a lot of effort to not just get this document together, but the underlying processes, procedures, the people, the staff that back this up. You have a really solid finance team there, and we are so happy to be working with them continuously. Do I have anything else after that slide? Oh, yes. So two other required communications that we are required to provide to the board and to management. So there's a SAS 114 letter, and it's essentially going over kind of what I'm going over here. It's going to talk about any significant risks that are identified, and that's just generally speaking for all audits. It could be specific to Mojave, but in the case of your particular audit, there are none. If we had encountered any uncorrected misstatements or difficulties working with management or the agency, that's where that information would be reported. But as you can see, it's a pretty easy, fairly easy read. We really had no issues once again. And then the second letter is our report on internal controls in accordance with government auditing standards. So that's where, if there were any deficiencies or instances of non-compliance, that's where that would be reported. But once again, very clean year. So there was nothing to report. So it's a very simple 1.5 page letter to you folks. And that is all for that. Next slide. Oh, and that's, yeah, I want to just chime into Mojave did not exceed the $750,000 threshold to that would require a single audit. That would be over federal awards, expenditures of federal awards. So the single audit is not applicable for fiscal year 2025. And just to highlight, they are upping the limit to $1 million for fiscal year 2026. So helping some agencies might decrease the workload there. I am happy to answer any questions related to our audit procedures, if anyone has any.
Great. Well, we'll open the questions up for Brianna. Does anyone have any questions from staff?
Well,
I'm sorry.
Then, if you have a question or something, ask it. But I'd like to just kind of wrap it up after.
No. Go ahead. I have a questions, Mike. So,
okay. As chairman of the Personnel and Finance Committee, obviously this came before us on Tuesday. And I just wanted to say, as Brianna mentioned, this has been going on for years, the unmodified opinion. And that's not normal that they don't find mistakes at most public agencies. And that began, and I always like to go into this history, it began when Carrie LeClaire got here and made it her mission. But it takes a lot of individuals, starting from Lauren all the way down to the individuals that I see over there that take the first items in to make sure that they're correct. But it was almost like there was a mission for this to happen each and every year. And it began with Carrie. And I just want to recognize her and the entire staff for making that happen, because it doesn't happen just because one person. It takes a whole team. But Carrie certainly got that started. And we have to remember that if there ever is a mistake that they find, we can't go crazy on it, because most public agencies have a number. And I remember in years that we used to have 4 or 5, and they said, it's no big deal. Take care of it. And they were minor, and we just have to remember that. Kimberly, I can tell you want to say something.
Well, just for clarification, the corrections that we've had in the past have been journal entries, we recorded things. We've always had an unmodified audit opinion.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Great comments, Mike. Thank you. Good job, Carrie.
But the sentiment is valid nonetheless.
Lauren, thank you. So we'll move on to, and Brianna, thank you.
Okay, thank you all.
Move on to item 8, review the 2025 mid-year projected budget of the audited actuals.
Yes.
Christmas falls.
Yes, it is. Yeah, sorry. Except I have an inside out.
So maybe after the first.
Can they just do it again? Yeah.
He's got a lot of time to do that. We all good? Okay.
Okay, so now we are at item number 8, which is the mid-year budget to audited actuals review. During the previous item, our independent external audit partner presented the annual audited financial report for the fiscal year ending June 30 of 2025. This presentation will focus on those final audited amounts compared to the mid-year projected budget for the same fiscal year. Total budget to actual revenues were in a favorable position by about $10 million, and total expenses were also in a favorable position by about $15 million, resulting in an overall favorable position of about $25 million. The overall actual amount was deposited into cash reserves, which results in about a $220 million balance. This is set aside for future planned or legally restricted capital and operating uses. Actual water transfers of $16 million were billed based on DWR's final Table A allocation of 50% related to the West Side Agreement. Water transfers were budgeted off a historical average due to the volatility in forecasting. Property taxes are budgeted conservatively. Actuals came in slightly higher than budget by about $2.8 million or 5%. Actual interest revenues are also budgeted conservatively, forecasting both Federal Reserve rate changes and our cash on hand. Actuals came in higher by about $1.7 million or 28%. The feds have been slower at pricing in cuts than originally anticipated at the budget preparation time, and our cash on hand has been higher with delayed capital spending and strong water transfer revenues. The feds have cut rates three times in calendar 2025, in September, October, and the third time yesterday. Actual grant revenues came in lower than projected, which is due to delayed capital spending. Grants were not lost, but rather moved into fiscal year 26 budget to match the expected timing of the capital spending. Actual DWR bond and capital expenses came in about $2.2 million less than projected. DWR's projections continue to be higher than DWR's actuals. Fiscal 25 actuals of about $7 million are consistent with the actuals of prior year amounts. And I wanted to point out there is a negative amount, which is in water purchases. They are actual purchases credited by DWR. This amount is estimated by DWR in advance based on water supply allocations, forecast demands, and hydrology, and then determined by the actual deliveries in the prior year. Over or under collections, in this case, over collected funds in the prior year, are trued up in the current year. Pass-through grants are less than projected, again, due to delayed capital spending to match the expected timing of the capital spending. There were actual capital expenses of about $3 million in fiscal 25, which is less than budgeted. This is due to delays in capital project completion and spending. Primarily, the Mojave River Pipeline Traveling Screen Project was delayed to the current fiscal 26 budget. Additionally, the Lucerne Pump Station recharge monitoring well was determined not to be feasible and did not proceed, and the project was closed. The West Victorville groundwater banking pilot test project was over half of the $3 million spent and is continuing over the upcoming years in a total expected project cost of about $50 million. We are currently working with three fiscal years. We are closing out fiscal 25 with audited actuals today. Next is the mid-year budget update for fiscal 26, and that will be coming in February. And finally, we have kicked off the new fiscal 27 budget with various updates anticipated beginning in March through May, with the approved fiscal 27 budget effective July 1 of 2026. This item is for review only with no action necessary, so I will turn it back over to the president for questions.
Thank you, Lauren. Is there any questions for Lauren from the board? All right, Lauren, well, thank you. Just a workshop, just information only. This brings us to item 9, consent calendar, adopt board actions from regular meeting on November 13th, 2025. Motion to approve.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Motion, Director Page, second, Director Hoffman. Yes, this is for 9, adopt bills for payment, consider authorizing contract renewal with CSUSB to explore impacts of the waste watershed quality.
Director Hoffman?
Yes.
Director Limbaugh?
Yes.
Director Page?
Yes.
Director Hoffman?
Yes.
Director Limbaugh?
Yes.
Director Page?
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 Yes.
Director Ramirez?
Yes.
Director Page?
Yes.
Director Cox?
Aye.
And President Wally?
I vote aye. All right, thank you. Business, item 12, election of officers. Our annual changing of the guard.
Mr. President, if I could, I would like to present a slate for Marina as president and Kathy as vice president.
And I'd like to second that.
West as prez and Kathy Hoffman as vice president.
Thank you.
So we'll have a vote on that as well. We have a motion and a second.
Okay. Director Hoffman?
Yes.
Director Limbaugh? Yes. Director Ramirez?
Yes.
Director Page?
Yes.
Director Cox?
Aye.
And President Wally?
Aye. So Marina wasn't here to defend herself, so.
And if I could, I would just like to say Mike and I have been on this board for a long time, and this is just a delightful group to work with. Those of you that have sat in the audience for a while, you've seen some of the challenges at the board level, but every single one of us just has the best interest of this agency at heart. And, you know, as an elected on this board, it's an absolute pleasure to work with each one of these fine folks. There's no one vying for the gavel. We all are working so collaboratively. So it's truly a blessing to be here. Mike, I'm sure you have something you want to add.
Yeah, just that there's no agendas, no seeking of power. It's just a delight. We had a lot of years where it was not that way. And I would just encourage everybody that when Kimberly and I are both off this board to help keep that and keep reminding everybody, because it's really easy without even realizing it that the people just by nature want to gain power, and a board does not work the best when that's what what someone is striving for. So maybe you just need to remind them once in a while if that would come up.
And how about Rick's great job as this past year's president?
Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, I can attest to the fact that the board has gone through some trials and tribulations. Wasn't always necessarily done to the board, but you guys had a lot of problems in the early days. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, it makes it easy to run meetings when you have a great staff, and agenda, the calendar is all, you know, Latrice isn't here today, but, she kept me in line. Everything is done well and concise, and the staff, too. We have such a diverse staff, and I've been on lots of boards. I'm on other boards as well, and the dedication of the employees, is phenomenal here, and it's so diverse. You have people from all over the world that work here, and it's just really unique. It's a really unique group, and it works so well. So I really appreciate it. So yeah. I have a lot of fun here. Okay, thanks, guys.
And Bob, we were a little worried when you got on the board. We weren't sure what to expect, but Kathy's done a good job keeping you in line.
Having served a number of times on the park board, I got a little mellowed, so that was virgin but it's been a pleasure this year working under you, Rick. So thanks for your leadership.
Great board, great staff, great GM. It's been a great year, and I haven't kicked Limbaugh too many times, so we're good.
I'll never forget the agenda item we had when we were trying to buy a truck. Remember that? It was probably one of the highlights of this.
A tie that day.
I guess it was, the economy was really booming back then, and you couldn't even buy you drive by a truck place now, they're like crazy how many trucks were there, but you couldn't buy a truck, and yeah. It was like, we almost had like a two-hour presentation on buying a truck. I was like, that was a good one. I'll never forget it. I wasn't the president at the time, but it was one of the most memorable. Well, since you're sitting right in front of me, it reminded me of that. Buying that truck. Did we ever buy it?
We did.
Okay.
It took a while.
Yeah, I think it was. I think COVID had created some problems with parts and.
Yeah, a page.
Nope. Yeah, no one had trucks. Yeah.
All right. Moving right along, we are on consider item 12, consider approval updates of personnel policies and procedures. Adnan?
Yeah, so I can briefly introduce this, but Lauren did such a good job. I think if you want to run through the slides again, we're proposing two changes to the personnel policies to address. In terms of a retirement benefit and how that's administered, and the second is a holiday. So with that, Lauren?
I will walk through the proposed changes, and just for note, their red line policy is also attached to the agenda for review. This slide is the current section 13.08, retirement health benefits. As advised by a tax attorney, employment attorney, and general counsel, the proposed updates ensure compliance with IRS and PERS laws and regulations, and to strengthen and clarify language with the board's original intent for the retirement benefit. This slide is the proposed updated section 13.08. PEMCHA is the formal name of the PERS retirement health plan if the retiree chooses our PERS health plan options. The updated policy clarifies, in accordance with IRS law, that reimbursements for non-PEMCHA retirees can only be used for IRS-eligible expenses and supported by receipts. We have initiated a health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA, with an external administrator to oversee the process and compliance. We have been providing communications and educational webinars for staff and retirees for this new HR administrator and their web platform. This is expected to go live in early January. The updated policy clarifies that in accordance with PERS deadlines, the retiree must officially retire from the agency within 120 days. Finally, the updated policy clarifies that if a retiree reinstates with a new PERS agency, that the individual is no longer officially retired from Mojave and would officially retire with another PERS agency. Therefore, Mojave's retirement health contribution would cease upon PERS reinstatement with another agency, and the former retiree is no longer eligible for Mojave's retirement benefit contribution. The second proposed update is regarding the fixed holidays, section 16.01. In alignment with federal holiday observances, the agency is proposing to recognize Juneteenth, National Independence Day, as an official paid holiday. This change reflects our commitment to honoring significant moments in American history and ensuring consistency with federal guidelines. Staff recommends the Board of Directors approve updates to the personnel policies and procedures. And I will turn it back over to the president for questions.
Great, thank you, Lauren. Questions, comments on changing the calendar?
I do.
We have one from.
It's not changing the calendar, it's on the retiree health benefit. I know you had a webinar session with the retirees. How did that go? Were they understanding and supportive of the change? And I know we've got one of them sitting here on the board, so I'm sure he'll weigh in.
I think it went about 95%. There were some questions about it, and that was going to be my comment, why there were questions about it. In my opinion, it's a good thing for the agency to have that. The origin of the health benefit retirement is unique to this agency. In the 90s, employees had the Flex Select benefit program like they do now, and it was calculated that amount on an annual basis in your PERS retirement calculation. Well, about 10 years after I was employed here, PERS sent MWA a letter saying, you can't do that, that's illegal. And so what the agency did in order to make it better for the employee upon retirement is they instituted this $500 a month payment to a retiree if you met that the PERS requirements to retire. And they withdrew that additional amount to add to your final compensation salary with calculation to PERS. So now, as time has gone on, we've seen that I think most people that retire from this agency probably use that $500 and can verify the health amount, so they're not to pay taxes on it. But a couple of them during our web seminar were questioning about that, and I think it's true that we're more in compliance now with the law. So I think it's a moving forward, it's a better program, but they didn't understand it. And a lot of them had the questions about, well, if I pass away as the ex-MWA employee, what happens to my spouse? Do they still get the $500 or the $200, whatever the case may be? And the answer was no, because the benefit is for the employee. So those were the questions that came up. I think, what do we have, 35? Something like, how many people are on this program? 30, 29, 35?
Yeah, somewhere in the low 30s.
So a whole bunch of 33. People. And some of them never had that thing where it was the benefits were counted in your retirement calculation. Okay. And so anyway, I in my opinion, it's going to move forward okay. And it relieves staff of having to deal with it. We put it off on the, like we did with the paychecks voucher program for our stuff. I think it's going to work better.
Good. Well, thank you for that. I was wondering how that went. That's all I had.
Okay, great. Anything else? Any other questions? Okay, since we don't have any more questions, staff recommends the Board of Directors approve updates to the personnel policies and procedures.
So moved.
Motion?
I move.
Motion Limbaugh?
I'll second, being the chair of the committee.
Director Pace?
Okay. Director Hoffman?
Yes.
Director Limbaugh?
Yes.
Director Ramirez?
Yes.
Director Page?
Yes.
Director Cox?
Aye.
And President Raleigh?
Aye. Okay, item 14, I'm sorry, considering the agency's meeting calendar for 2026.
Lauren, do you want to take this one? It's rather quick, but I could do it if you'd like. Okay. Included, and I don't believe we have a slide, but included is the agency calendar for next year. These become the regular meetings of the board and the committees for the year. It does not limit us or you from adding a meeting, a special meeting, or canceling a meeting for any needs. So as we've done through the regular cadence of board meetings, staff will be in discussions with the board president to talk, or committee chair to talk about load balancing. If there are more items or more pressing timing needs, those can always be adjusted on the fly. But what you see is reflective of also the update to the addition of the new holiday, but otherwise has the committee and board meetings throughout the year. With that, we can take questions and then entertain a motion if you want to move forward.
Questions on the calendar? Yes.
Do we have a need for that first meeting in January?
The board meeting?
Yeah, because I know the agency is closed. We've got a lot of folks that take vacations there. I'd just soon.
Yeah, good question.
Cancel that meeting now as to have it on there if we don't think we're going to have enough.
So already have an agenda for that.
We do.
Based
okay.
on some of the items from PFST this week, as well as what we're going to see from PREO next week. So just to we have material there.
Yep. As long as we have stuff, I don't think any of us wants to meet just to have a meeting.
Agreed. So,
thank you.
All right, if there's no further questions or comments, we'll need a motion to approve.
I'll motion.
I'll second.
Second.
Jesse.
Oh, Jesse, I'm sorry.
Okay. Director Hoffman?
Yes.
Director Limbaugh?
Yes.
Director Ramirez?
Yes.
Director Page?
Yes.
Director Cox?
Aye.
And President Raleigh?
Aye. This is to 15, consider authorization to execute the agreement for the dissolution of the Morongo Basin Pipeline.
Thank you. And I'll
over to the GM.
Thank you. Yes, I'll just brief remarks because I know Melody has quite a good slide deck to talk about this, but just yesterday, we discussed this at the MBPLC meeting in a workshop format. And this item is really the culmination of about 2 years' worth of work between Mojave Water Agency staff and the Morongo Basin managers, those on the Morongo Basin Pipeline, and what we refer to as the IDM group. Really, this is... the punchline here is about restructuring that the format of that meeting to be reflective of how of what they need and how we can run it more flexibly. As you know, bond payments on the Morongo Basin Pipeline have been paid, and there's the, that commission no longer directs public funds in its original capacity like it used to. And this change to shift it from more of a commission formally directing funds to more of a technical advisory committee that can be run similar to how we run TAC is the current thinking. This particular action would be the first step in moving towards that. And I'll just, as you know, Melody gets through her slides, I know we don't have Director West here, but Director West was intimately involved in the discussion and direction that we went here as representative of her district, which includes the IDM. And I can kind of reflect her position on this as I just had a briefing with her yesterday about it. With that, Melody, if you could take...
Yes. So Adnan gave a great elevator pitch for the dissolving of the Morongo Basin Pipeline. I have a hard time saying dissolution as well, so mouthful. So I'll walk through some historical context, the current challenges that we're having with the Morongo Basin Pipeline meeting, a proposed solution that the IDM managers have agreed to working through, the legal consensus and the timeline for this, and then staff's recommendation on this. So as Adnan mentioned, in 1991, we had the agreements for the construction, operation, and financing of the Morongo Basin Pipeline. And in those agreements with these parties, there's a Section 22, which formed the commission officially with their purpose and mission to review, evaluate, and approve items related to the construction, financing, and financing of the pipeline. So since the bonds have been paid off, and MWA has assumed all of the maintenance related to the pipeline, so the original purpose of the commission has now been satisfied. So the image on the right, this is taken directly from those agreements for the construction, operation, and financing of and how the structure was. So the previous commission would have reported to the board anyway as well. So the regulatory status and the current challenges. So the Morongo Basin Pipeline Commission is a Brown Act body. This does require a formal 72-hour agenda posting. There's some strict quorums and meeting procedures, which we were having challenges with as well. And there's a high administrative burden for what we now consider routine maintenance and coordination with those in the Morongo area. So the governance structure also no longer fits our current operational reality of how we're operating that pipeline as well. So the solution is we would like to formally dissolve the commission, and we want to leverage, there's a staff-led IDM managers working group. This is the general managers of Mojave Water Agency, Bighorn Desert View, Joshua Basin, High Desert Water District, and the county. They all have been regularly meeting together to work through items and things and create the agenda for the Morongo Basin Pipeline Commission. And so now we're proposing to really leverage that group of managers to oversee the functions of the pipeline, the day-to-day operations, and allow for more flexibility, and then continue to root formal items. We're going to propose a Morongo Basin Advisory Committee and a TAC committee. So the idea there is that we can still go to the Morongo area to have those transparent meeting settings, formal meetings where the public and others can come, board members from other agencies can come. And then also for some flexibility, we'll tack it onto the TAC as well, so that they're not traveling back and forth for multiple meetings as well. So, and then the Mojave Water Agency Board of Directors would still approve any kind of financial items related to the pipeline and actions. And then if there was anything formal policy-wise, it would also go to the other boards as well as necessary. So the idea here is that we want to maintain that regional collaboration and communication that we have fostered over the 3 decades that we've been working with the Morongo Basin Pipeline and parties. And we also want to remove some administrative red tape and increase operational flexibility, but we also want to still keep that transparency option available for folks as well. So there was a legal consensus on this. So the MWA legal counsel led meetings with the other legal counsels for the other five participating agencies, and they were in consensus to dissolve the Morongo Basin Pipeline Commission. So the effective date that we're proposing would be December 1st, with the last Morongo Basin Pipeline Commission meeting being yesterday. And the goal is to adopt the agreement, to begin this transition. So with that, staff recommends the Board of Directors consider approving the agreement for dissolution of the Morongo Basin Pipeline Commission and authorize the Board President to execute that agreement. And with that, I can take any questions.
And President Rowley, if you may, just a couple of other comments real quick. Lead counsel on this for us was Mr. McElhaney. Mr. McElhaney is online, so he can answer any particular questions you might have. But as Melody had mentioned, this was a sort of a IDM manager-led effort, right? Recognizing the mismatch between how we run the commission and what the needs are and what information is disseminated. And then it moved on to the legal counsel working group to just figure out how we actually get this done legally. You know, how is the agency? And I prefer the term sunsetted, because it sort of implies there might be a sunrise, and the sunrise on the other side is going to be, you know, how we restructure this into a technical advisory committee. In addition to that, Director West had, you know, very supportive of this. I know she isn't here today, but she and I have talked. We've been working with her in her capacity as GM of Bighorn Desert View, but also as a Mojave board member. So this has been sort of a long time coming. And just wanted to make that clear to you all.
Great, thank you. Questions, comments, concerns?
Just a quick question. I'm curious about the timing. You said the committee will sunset as of December 1, but yet you had your last meeting yesterday. Why wasn't it sunsetted as of today when our board makes a decision? I'm sure there's an answer there, but I'm just curious about it.
Lee, I'll lean on you for that one.
Lee,
we don't have your audio.
We still don't hear you.
Yeah, he's muted.
Yeah, his mic is off. Yeah. Lee, your mic is off on your end. There you go.
No, it's off again.
Unfortunately, we still do not hear you.
For a moment, had it on.
No. We cannot hear you now.
While Lee is coming on, are you referring to the December 1 date? Where was that identified?
That is identified in the actual agreement that we're aiming to adopt.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Lee, if you can hear me, I'm about to text you a number and an access code if you want to call in.
See if it'll work.
I think also we were intending to bring this to the board on November 13th originally, and because of if I'm recalling, the agenda was quite full, so we pushed it. So that might have been part of it.
Well, I didn't mean to make it so difficult.
No, here, if we can't get Lee's audio, what I'll commit to is we'll review to make sure that the agreement that does get signed gets corrected to update the date. Because, yes, we did. There was an MBPLC that was run yesterday, so it was still active. And actually, it will remain active until all parties sign that agreement, and then that would formally close that commission.
But there is a date on the agreement, and I think that date should reflect the board's action as of today.
Yeah, so we can update it accordingly. I just text Lee the number. try to call him.
So, and while we're waiting for Lee, the JPA between the components of the IDM participants, that's going to go away, right?
Just the commission itself?
Just the commission.
We have we have ongoing agreements with IDM members so that we can serve them water.
So that stays in force.
Yes.
And I know in talking to Marina that this idea about keeping the Morongo Basin, basically the Colorado region of our agency, in tune with direct written stuff with MWA was a good thing. And we all realized that the functionality of the old agreement was more towards the building, construction, and initial operation of the pipeline. That has since changed. So I think that was it evolved over time. So it was a good thing. There, Lee?
Are you able to hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
I apologize for that. Something wrong on my end. I'm using my phone now to speak to you. I did meet several times with the attorneys representing the other stakeholders. They were all in agreement that the commission should be dissolved. As was reported, the pipeline commission meeting yesterday, there was no objection. Everyone was in agreement. All the stakeholders at that time were in agreement to the dissolution. As to the effective date of the dissolution, we still need to submit the proposed agreement to the other parties. If you approve it today, the dissolution, and your package should include an agreement to terminate the commission that I drafted, that'll be submitted to the attorneys representing the other side after you've approved to get the approval of their respective agencies. So in terms of the effective date, it really will depend on when we get signatures and approvals from all of the other entities. I hope that answers the question.
Well, so Lee, this is Director Cox. So it says Pipeline Commission shall be entirely dissolved and no longer function for any purpose effective December 1. That's my issue. We're voting on it today, December 11, and the last meeting of the commission was actually held yesterday, December 10th. So I think at the very least that date should be updated to December 11th or changed to pending signatory by each of the involved parties.
Yes, I would recommend that you amend that to indicate will be effective on the last date that the signatories have agreed to the termination and signed the termination agreement.
Okay. In that case, Mr. Chair, I'm happy to make a motion on this item.
Okay, great. Yeah, I was
with that modification.
Amended to the last day.
As okay. When the last signatory signs it. So okay. It's going to be in the future.
We have a motion?
Correct.
Cox?
Second.
Second from Mike Limbaugh. Teresa?
Director Hoffman?
Yes.
Director Limbaugh?
Yes.
Director Ramirez?
Yes.
Director Page?
Yes.
Director Cox? And President Raleigh?
Aye. Thank you, everyone. Reports, managers' reports.
Thank you. Just a couple of them. I'll ask Mike to do the first one.
Great. Thank you, Adnan. Good morning, Mr. President, members of the board. I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce one of our new employees in the engineering department. This person has come to us probably 3 weeks ago, and we are excited to have her. Her name is Flora Delgado. Flora, feel free to come up here. And I told her we wouldn't put her on the hot seat. So, well, she comes up here. Yes, Mr. President, I think that Freightliner truck was about 18 months from the time the board approved that purchase to the time we received it. And yes, you're right. At that time, we couldn't get trucks anywhere, but we did purchase it, and it is in use. So,
good. I'll never forget it.
With that being said, again, please welcome Flora Delgado.
To what position?
She's hired as the engineer two position.
Great.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi. Nice to meet everybody. You'll see my face around.
So where did you come from?
I worked at a small consulting firm in Riverside. We did water, recycled water, sewer, that kind of stuff. And then before that, I worked at a geotechnical consulting firm.
Small consulting firm is Krieger and Stewart, right?
Yes.
Krieger. Some of you guys may be familiar. They do a lot of work in the low desert.
Yeah, I recognize the name. We're excited to have you.
Yes.
Good to be here.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, and welcome, Flora. I just wanted to echo sentiments, lastly, that, you know, this has been an exceptional board to work with. We've done a lot as an agency, and also the efforts of staff this year has been nothing short of, you know, amazing. And so I want to thank you all for that continued effort. There's been a lot of change, and you guys continue to push through and make this place a better place every day. So thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. And yeah, we'll close out another great year and excited for next year. That concludes my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Legal report.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Good morning to everyone. We do have a closed session later on in the meeting. But until then, Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everyone.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Director's reports. We'll start down there with Mike Limbaugh.
Yeah, I got lucky and went to two City of Hesperia council meetings over the last month, and mainly to keep up with the Silverwood project. And they haven't changed the schedule. They still have the nine phases. I think they've maybe changed how much in each phase, but I didn't get the exact details, but I'll keep you posted about that. One funny thing about the City of Hesperia, they have a resident that shows up at every meeting and complains about the limit to the 5-minute presentation. He thinks it's illegal and all city council should be arrested. So that's how the meeting starts every time, that they're performing the meeting illegally by not allowing the citizens to talk as long as they want. And then most of the meeting was about the Silverwood development project out there. So it'll be interesting to see what my area presents under the new urban water management plan that we're going to do over the next year. So I did that, and I'll continue to attend, but God help me. So there you go.
All right. Well, I still have a handcuff key if you get arrested. So.
Just
Kathy.
Let's see. I attended along with Director Cox the Aqua Conference at the beginning. Our GM was there, and Wes was, a lot of staff was there. The first day we did a Delta conveyance update that I know Adnan and Wes and I attended, which they're going to be much better at giving you an update when the time is appropriate for that. That was a lot of information, but it seems like it's moving ahead actually very well. Attended a couple of other sessions. One was on PFAS, which doesn't directly affect my area, my division, but a lot of you have some things coming down the pipeline with that. Another one that I saw I listened to was pretty interesting about financing to do with infrastructure. There's a lot more out there as far as monies, you know, to help us with infrastructure. So it's kind of my update.
Just want to wish everybody a very blessed
Merry Christmas. Sorry, thank you. And sorry to interrupt.
That's fine. A very blessed and peaceful Christmas.
Yeah, mine's virtually the same. Just wishing everybody just a fantastic Christmas season, and keep the main thing, thinking about what Christmas is all about. And just thank you to all the staff and just all the hard work all of you put in to make our jobs as board members pretty easy. Thank you.
Same here. Merry Christmas to everybody, and hopefully that everyone has a nice and peaceful holiday. And again, thank you to all your staff, that all the hard work you do. Like Mike said, you make our jobs easier. Thank you.
Thank you. I got a question for Charlene on the essay contest. Could you come up just real quick and give us a brief who won that and what the, just a
Sure, I don't have those notes with me, but it was the finals night was held here last month, and we had a great turnout. We had three students, and I'm trying to remember off the top of my head who it was that won. But I do have staff here. You want to come on up? He takes all the photos. So this is Kenny Sousa, for anybody who's watching. He is in charge of taking videos and photos of all the contestants, and then Liz Fratt coordinates all of that, so it's definitely a team effort. So since you've spent a little bit more time with them, if you want to go ahead and...
Sure. What we do is we interview all three of our finalists, and we put together a video that gets shown for the first time at the Water Summit. So we're editing that right now. Our finalists, our first place winner was Ariella Randolph. She's from University Prep. Funny enough, her older sister actually was a finalist last year and was also one of our hosts for the actual event. She's a great presenter. They both are. That family is going places. So we're happy to host them again and have Ariella give her presentation as part of the Water Summit.
Yeah, that'd be great. The reason I called you up is because it's always good to see young people involved. And I was there along with a few other board members, but it didn't stay till the end when she actually won the presentation. So that's why I wanted a quick update. But if you could maybe in the future have her show up here, just kind of give us an overview. It's always good to hear from students.
Definitely. As a matter of fact, the impact that these programs have had is really growing over the years. As Kenny mentioned, the older sister was a finalist last year. And as a result of that, she's actually stayed in contact with the agency, and we're working on crafting a type of maybe shadowing experience for her. We haven't fleshed that out yet. Obviously, that would take resources from other staff members, and we're coordinating that right now. So that is one example of many impacts that we've seen. 2 years ago, our Water Summit had an essay contest finalist as our keynote, because as a result of the essay research that he did, he changed his college major from something entirely different into water resources, and he's now working in a state of Colorado under water resources, and he has directly tied that to our programs. So we've got not only our essay contest, but we also have our problem solvers contest, which is a really big deal this year. It's something that we've done every year, and typically we have it limited to 3 or 4 schools that compete for a scholarship opportunity. And because of the way that it's built this time, it's built on conservation messaging, creating a conservation messaging toolkit. And so rather than limiting it to 3 or 4 schools, we had 11 schools participate with 10 finaling. And so those entries are going through our judges' procedure right now. And we are going to see a lot of materials on conservation and basically the students influencing the future of water. So very, very exciting. And thank you so much for bringing that attention to the students and what it can do for our agency and our region.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. All right. That's all I have. Discussion items for next future agenda. Does anyone have anything? No?
I do.
Yes.
I have only 4, though.
Only 4. Okay, 4 items, sir.
And one is not really for future agenda items. Just 2 things on the State Water Project. Delta Conveyance Facility, is there any new information on that over the last 2 months that we need to, that you know that we don't?
We will have a presentation to talk about the overall progression of the project, but things, you know, we're still in State Board Water Rights Hearing, which is the main... one of the 2 main pieces left for approval of the project to actually go into potential construction. The second is going to be what they call the Delta Stewardship, the Delta Plan Consistency Determination, which is part of the Delta Reform Act. Those 2 things, those get cleared and permitting is done.
Okay.
So that's big. And then the last sort of hurdle is bond validation. DWR is quite conservative and they want to check to make sure they have the authority to bond for the project in the same way they do for other capital on the State Water Project.
In regards to that, the 2 items, of course, that we're concerned about is 1, when they're going to call for more funding, and 2, have they selected a date to begin construction?
So, yeah,
or a year? How about a year? Well, we would settle for a year, I think.
I think the current estimate, and I'm going to look at Wes because now he's much more plugged in than me. Well, more so these days. I think the construction start timing is still expected to be around 2039, 2040 for early works. They expect bond issuance by 2037. And they're going to look to agencies to confirm their participation level and commit payments and commitment to the project. We're going to have another request in late 2026, so next year.
Okay.
And we'll have many presentations leading up to that so that you're well informed. We expect to see by mid 2026 a new construction cost estimate as well.
Second thing is Action 5. Do you know anything about Action 5?
With respect to?
Central Valley Project?
No.
Release of water?
Oh, is it?
It's called Action 5, I believe, is what the buzzword is. But it raised some hairs at the right. DWR about what are you doing? Does that impact us on any deliveries from the State Water Project?
Good question. You're talking about the releases that are like federally mandated, like requested or, you know.
Yeah, they.
Yeah. So, a lot going on there. There's politics obviously at play, but the career people in both the Bureau and part of the Central Valley Project recognize, like, you know, this has to be sustainable. Like, we have to, it has to, operations has to make sense. It can't just be like for show.
Don't let all the cows out of the barn, right?
Yeah. And second, we do have a coordinated operations agreement that the State Water Project and Central Valley Project operate to. So any losses or unders or overs or unders in a particular time period are made up for. So, you know, if there is releases that impact State Water Project delivery, those are made up for by CVP for whatever reason.
And that makes an interesting partner for us in Southern California to partner up with the environmentalists of Northern California about those issues. Right. It's just kind of funny. But anyway, I saw there was a couple articles written about that. And the final say hasn't been done on that yet, right?
Yeah, the politics tends to be, and what you see in the general news cycle doesn't tend to be the actually on the floor reality in terms of impacts. I mean, a lot of these are just talking points and leverage, but yeah, no real impacts from that are happening to State Water Project, and anything that sort of results in a accounting that shifts one way or another in terms of harm gets resolved for later.
Okay, the next two items I have kind of tie together. For those of you who don't know, we're approaching $250 million in reserves. Hopefully over the next budget cycle, we'll spend some pointed time just focusing on that growing amount of money. And the second tie to that is the availability of funds to buy state allocation as we get it. And I know last year Lauren had made, or the accounting department, maybe she didn't do it herself, but created that graph with regard to our water transfers based on what the allocation was, what we could project based on 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Maybe it's time to develop the same type of thing with our financial situation and water purchasing and see how much we could afford without taking a hit financially and all the alternatives we have to buying any kind of wet water that we can deliver here while we have the funding for it, even if the State Water Project is not upping their allocation over the course of the year. For those who don't know, it started this year with 2026 is 10% so far. So that's a thing that I think for future agendas that we would like to see, maybe something like that.
I strongly agree with that, Mike.
Thank you, Director Cox.
Are you done with your program yet?
The last one I have, and we've been talking about this for a number of years, I'm going to call it the MSIP program. And what it is the Meeting Communication Improvement Project. I don't see Trevor out there, but if we need to get a new deal to handle all these technical issues we have at the meeting, both at a virtual standpoint and at a here in the room standpoint, maybe we need to invest some. I know we have budgeted couple hundred grand, I think, to try to look at this. But I think, speaking hopefully for all of my board members, that we would like to see a flawless communication system so we don't have to deal with the technical ambiguities that have plagued committee meetings and board meetings and get-togethers here at the agency. I know we do our best, and sometimes it's above us, but does everybody have these kind of problems with the technical issues? I don't go to enough meetings that are virtual, so do they? I mean,
most, I think, do.
Do?
Yeah.
It's a bugaboo that we can't get rid of?
Yeah, I don't think our system is
kind of like cell phone when you used to lose the call, like
most,
that kind of deal?
Most systems designed from the ground up as, you know, leveraging new platforms and technology are dealing with this just fine. The problem is when you have an older system that was designed for a particular use and then you try to, you know, Frankenstein's yeah. monster, you know, add appendages, that's when problems creep
modify
up.
It to fit your current need rather than what it was originally designed for. I understand that, yeah.
Right, and so we're dealing with a lot of that right now, but it's the frustration is shared. So and we have to sequence this in a certain order. Certain upgrades need to happen so that then that becomes operable with the go-to system, for example. But not doing that upgrade first and just trying to add cameras or audio can sort of harm us if we don't actually get the foundations right, which is like our Granica system.
Just something for a future agenda that maybe
we should
get that taken care of in the course of our business. Yeah. So, and again, happy holidays to everybody.
Mike? Kathy? Anything? Just to... session. With that, we'll go into closed session and we'll see Steve. You'll see you in the other room.
Perfect. Okay. We probably
sounds good. Yeah. Because I
was. Yeah. We're good. Thank you.
This was given to me by Kenneth. Copies and it's provided.
I thought you meant Ken.
Oh, no.
I tease him called Kenneth all the time. So.
Oh, no.
Yes, do you want one for each of the board members?
Just scan it and we can.